just lie on your back. So from this morning's schematic of lines and directions and most simple of self-representations, now into the high specifics of our human fate of two legs. So before you come up to your knees, what I suggest you do is you kind of set a path for yourself. Maybe you will just rest during the rests, or maybe you'll use the rests to follow the changing contacts or the changing breath. Or maybe, as a reminder, you could use the rests to regenerate, make more clearly if you feel that wasn't clear in the morning. This lines, directions, representation of self as lengths from the, where is that coccyx? It may not be in the middle, many of us have a coccyx that goes a bit more left or right for whatever reasons. But anyway, from somewhere there, middly, up through the spine, from the base of the neck, wide through the shoulders and arms, wide, long, wide, long. Ever notice how it's not possible to get short without also getting narrow? But with rounded chests, shoulders come closer together. So here we have length and width, spoken to by these lines, and the lengths of the two legs. And would you please come to stand on your knees, the two knees, and you will wait until you put your hands, one in front of your head and one behind, to roll your head. You'll wait to be reminded that it's not just the hands that are going to go to your head, but there will be elbows to account for, there will be shoulder blades, there's a shoulder girdle, there's a spine, there's a length to listen to. So listen to yourself. There's no hurry to bring the hands to your head. So create a path that doesn't narrow you, doesn't shorten you, and following the elbows, where with the elbows? The elbows somehow represent what you end up doing with the shoulders, so maybe the shoulders don't have to come up to the ears in order for the hands to come up to the head. And then you place one hand in front, one hand in back, with a flat hand so that you roll the head between the hands, roll the head with the hands. Okay, so the hands roll the head. The hands roll the head. It's not that the hands stay there and the head rolls between the hands. The hands roll the head. So when your head, if you have the left hand in front, then when you're looking to the left, your head is between your fingers. And if your left arm is in front, when you roll your head to the right, your head is more or less between the root or the heel of the hand. If you have your right arm in front, then when your head is rolled to the right, both hands are touching more or less with the fingers. And when you have your head rolled to the left, then more or less both hands are touching the head at the root. And hopefully you haven't bowed your head in order to bring it closer to the hands. Okay. Sit back a minute. So maybe this length from the spine up through the head could be a good orienting line and direction. Come to your knees again and then change whichever hand you put in front. Now this is not such a hugely disbalancing movement, so you should use, but it could be already, right? It could be already. There's no reason to find out how far you can roll your head. With this ATM, it'll be actually more how lightly around the middle, a little to the left and a little to the right. Make it really easy for the shoulders, the arms, the elbows, so just a little to the left, just a little to the right. A little. A very tiny little. Very tiny little bitsy little bittle. There you go. That's it. So that you can do that little and do it a little faster, lighter, just so it's light. Now, do you take your eyes with you, or do you leave them forward and just roll your head? Tiny little bitsy, left and right. So they can be closed, but look forward so you don't whip your eyes around, left and right. Don't whip them around. You can even open your eyes if you'd like. We'll Google the word little. Lie on your back and rest. Please stand on your knees, and you will not roll your head between your hands. You will just have your head between the hands, with one in front, one behind, and this time you can make a nice cup. You can put them around. You can have the hands fit as you'd like. But put the thumb, with the fingers, so you're not like, not like this, but like that, not like this. Okay, good. And now you, actually, you know what, put the arms down for a minute. Do you have any sense whether your coccyx would drop, would you drop a straight line? Would it be closer to the left knee? Would it be closer to the right knee? Here's another way of asking the question, which shows something about the middle, but not in relation to the coccyx, and it's a true story. There is a practitioner who has come to several workshops who tells me that when she arrives at the workshop, when she goes to pee, her urine goes a little bit off to one side. And after some ATMs, she goes to pee, and her pee goes straight in the middle. So a very clear reorientation of the whole small pelvis. Now we're not talking about just the coccyx that could be a little left or could be a little right because as a child you went over one too many stones when you went on the toboggan, right? But something where the whole perineum, the whole pelvic floor, that means all this bone from the pubis around to the sitting bone, which by the way hangs from the two legs in case it's helpful to hear it again. So come on the two knees again. Where is that small pelvis in relation to the left leg and in relation to the right leg? Or maybe the question is, where's the femur in relation to the small pelvis? Good. Now, please, whatever. You're just checking. You don't have to have an answer, but you have your attention. Hold your head, and now you have a pencil, a long pencil, and you draw a circle. Draw a circle on the floor while you use the hands to keep the head where it is. Breathe. So the head, very often we make things with the pelvis and we want the head also, like on the pelvic clock. Make a circle with the pelvis, you're lying on the back, we want the spine to transport that and communicate through the head. And now, when it comes to balance, the whole question becomes quite expanded, which is, how much of the spine, so this is not an exercise just for the lower back. So how much of the spine, through the below the xiphoid, deep in the upper belly, but the chest can't make a huge movement, but something, somehow, the ribs, the breastbone, and where exactly is this circle drawn? So follow it, not just more or less somewhere in the pelvis, but represent it on the floor. Change direction. Breathe. Breathe. As, yeah, so that when, excellent. Great. Sit. Now stop a moment before you sit back. And now roll your head a few times and just notice whether something from moving the bottom of the spine in a circle has made rolling a bit easier. But it's not farther. We're not talking about farther. Just talking about lighter. Lighter and clearer. And then you may lie on your mat and rest. Come to your knees again. Put the other hand on your forehead. And do a number of circles with the lengthened coccyx on the floor. And so there's the floor. How much of yourself can you represent to yourself? Can you image as well? Because while the coccyx is drawing a circle with this imagined pencil on the wall, and also each one of the funnel, each one of the hip sockets on the pelvis is going around the ball of each femur. And you make it so that the head doesn't get pulled down. The head doesn't get pulled down, and you don't overwork in the lower back. And the head stays more or less in the middle. You change directions. Change directions. Then stop circling the coccyx and roll your head between the hands and see if there's some something. I don't know what that would be. See, the thing is it, what's the question? Is it circling the pelvis that helps to free the head mechanically, or is circling the pelvis and using the spine helps to find more and more clearly the balance, which is why the head is free? Sit back and rest. Or sit back and pause, not much. Okay. And please come again, but now put your right foot standing. So you're in the right foot and the left knee. Right hand on the forehead. So right foot, right hand on the forehead. Left hand behind. And roll your head with the two hands. And now, same head, but very different two legs. So just notice whether you immediately get kind of a grabbing impulse between the in the abductors. See, when the abductors grab, they are enslaving the small pelvis to the legs. And we actually want to keep really freeing the abductors so that the small pelvis is available to move. So when we say we hold the belly, we're actually also saying we're catching and holding the small pelvis vis-a-vis the legs. And that's never a good thing. So just roll your head and see what's the worst thing that could happen here. What's the worst thing that could happen? Let the wobble. The worst thing is what? What's the worst thing that would happen? Not going to fall far. Not going to fall far. Okay. Put the arms down for a second if you'd like. Then hold your head. Hold the head and extend the coccyx. Extend the coccyx with a pencil downward, and with the right foot and the right hand in front, you now draw a circle with the coccyx. And but are you how far back do you draw the circle? How far forward? How far left? So what? Notice these. Depending which way the small pelvis swings, the large pelvis gets higher on one side and lower on the other side, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And how does the right side, right funnel, how does the right socket move vis-a-vis the right leg? And can you still keep the adductors as soft and free on the left? On the right, laugh if need be, check if you've now holding your head with your hands or are you holding your head with your jaw and tongue? Okay. And then pause a moment with the coccyx and roll your head left and right and then take a interlude. Lie on your back, sit, whatever you'd like. To the other, so left foot, right knee, left hand in front, left foot, right knee, left hand in front, and first you roll your head. Roll your head, but you listen to your ability to stay free between the legs, so that really means also in the whole in the front and the adductors, but also kind of in the back between the, can you imagine between the coccyx and what's to the outside of the coccyx? Huh? They're deep in the buttocks, we very often will grab. So just roll your head. Wobble away. There's no wobble away if you need to. Good, then hold your head. Hold the head with the hands, not with the tongue and jaw. And draw, extend the coccyx and draw. And when you want to draw the right side of the circle, the one closer to the right knee, what does the pelvis have to do in relation to the left femur? Think about what the small pelvis, where does the small pelvis have to go? That means the sitting bone, the left sitting bone, the left side of the pubic bone. And where does the large pelvis, where does the ilium have to go? How it lengthens away from the left armpit. Ooh, and laugh when you've noticed that you haven't breathed. Notice that your foot tries to grab the floor or something, and change direction. Do you have to push your left knee forward? Some people, when they draw the forward part of the circle, the left knee shoots forward over the toes. Maybe it has to, but maybe not. Maybe it's just some lack of differentiation somewhere else. Then roll your head, roll, let it be, roll your head, and stand, walk, lie, whatever you prefer to do now. See if the rolling of the head is any freer or lighter. Again, not because so much the mechanics of that movement of the bottom of the pelvis, but that somehow this clear examination of where is the pelvis vis-a-vis the supports can allow the neck to be more free. Lie, rest, stand, walk as you wish. You take a pause. And come to the two knees again. Roll your head with whichever hand you would like to have in front. Make it small. It's not a question, not a matter of how large, as how light, so you can go maybe even quickly, as quickly, so can the head be free even as you. Good. All right, now continue to roll your head, but slowly and without interrupting the rolling of the head, yes, begin to draw the circle on the floor with the coccyx without disturbing, without stopping the movement of the head, without bringing your pelvis as if to sit. And while maybe even the head can stay more or less in the middle while the keep the hands pretty flat. Some of you forgot to flatten the hand so that the very little contact with the And is the circle with the pelvis being done only in the lower back now, or are you trying to simplify things for yourself, or is the more spine available? Okay. And then stop the movement of the head, but stay up there, stop the movement of the head, and just continue drawing the circle. Continue drawing the circle with the pelvis. So stop the movement of the head. If you need a pause for the arms down, take it. Continue to... Now with the arms down, are you more aware of how even the ring of the first rib is involved with circling the pelvis while the head stays up? Is it possible to let that upper thoracic, the ring of the first rib, to follow the coccyx as it draws a circle, while very lightly bringing the arms up without disturbing the ring of the first rib, and roll your head a little bit? Yeah. And the eyes can stay forward so that the head, when it rolls, especially if you are finding that you can roll it really freely and lightly instead of very slowly in some kind of coordination with head's up there, free at its own rhythm. Yeah, voila. Great. Lie on your back or stand or walk. And stand on the right foot and the left knee. Right foot and the left knee. Right hand in front, left one behind. And you decide whether you will first roll the head and then have the circle of the coccyx join in, or whether you will start drawing the circle and then join in with the rolling of the head. Make the rolling of the head small, so directions, or just stay with one direction, but the rhythm is, so the rolling of the head is not, the nose isn't tied to the pubic bone, so when the pubic bone's to the left, the nose is to the left or something, but the head has a different rhythm and speed than the movement of the pelvis, not only a very different direction. Okay, sit back a moment. And then left foot, right knee, with the left hand in front. Unless you want to first have no hands on the head and just really find how to not make it a movement in the lumbar spine. You could, right? Because the lumbar spine can round and you can side bend and you can extend. So it's a bit, requires an active invitation that really close to the spine in the chest. There's some, not just like the huge chest, because it's a very small movement. So close to the spine, the pull or the push, because depending where you are in the circle, it's a bit of a push up, isn't it? Or a bit of a pull down. So how do you keep that alive, not just when you're lying on the back and pushing or pulling, but here, right? It's really, on the one side it's a push and on the other it's a pull. Can you keep that traveling through, even if it's a small trickle, not a big river, all the way to the base of the neck, all the way to the first rib? Mm-hmm. Not a big movement of the chest, if it could be, but doesn't have to be. Could be, if the small and fine is there, then you can enlarge it. But if it's only the large, and then put your hands at some point, the left one in front, the right one behind, and see if the, you can, on top of that or in addition to that, give a little rolling of the head. You can keep it small, so it could actually be happening just between the atlas and the axis. It doesn't have to involve your whole spine. It could be very small between the atlas and the axis. Soft, soft, fine. Places can be present at once. How broad can the perspective be, so that many places together, that's right, many places together. In the beginning, it's here or there, but then slowly, or somehow, it's a full image that's created, and it's more places at once. That's it. Great. Good. And another pause. Maybe you have want to continue, and you'd like to start first with the rolling of the head and then see if you can add the circle with the pelvis. So please come to the right foot and the left knee. And for the bobit, hold your head again. So it's not rolling it, it's holding it and almost giving it, you know, make sure it doesn't pull down. So if you feel pulling down, you just kind of remind it with a slight indication to the skin or the hair that it's going upward. And reestablish the details of the small pelvis, the long pencil, on the coccyx, begin to draw a circle in whichever direction you would like. And while you do that, while you listen that it's not just something that's happening in the lower back, you locate with your thought, don't roll the head now, hold the head, because we're going to add something else. Where's your belly button? And please imagine that you have another pencil that's coming forward from your belly button, and then somebody puts a paper in front, but it's not parallel to your chest, it's a little bit tilted. So the lower part is closer to your knee and the upper part is a little bit away from you. And with that pencil that you have in the belly button, you draw a circle on this this board here, or I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah. While you continue to draw with the pencil on the floor, so that you can discover whether actually drawing with the belly button on this paper that is tilted allows the coccyx pencil to reach some further points behind you, especially. But don't do it by overworking the lower back. So, how? And could you also start rolling the head between your hands? Oh, what is happening to the shoulder girdle, the chest? Is it gone? Is it frozen? Okay, let it be, let it be. Sit, stand, walk, lie. Tell the truth. And now, if you come up again, which is it? Left foot, right knee, left hand on top of the front of the head, the right hand behind. You just use the hands to hold the head. You draw with the coccyx. Yeah. Looking forward is probably going to make it be better if we're staying long than looking down. Yeah, probably looking forward. Might feel a little bit less balanced, but that's a good thing. And you need to find the balance not with the eyes, but with the freedom through the between the legs, the freedom of the small pelvis and the connection all the way up as high as possible to the chest vertebra, close to the spine, so that maybe even right up to the first rib, there's some, that's it. And then you still have the nice board in front of you, so put a pencil in the belly button and just find how you can draw also. And careful, because if you're seeing the floor, especially if you're seeing the floor closer and closer to yourself, that means your head is down. If you're seeing your own left foot, then you're definitely looking down. Oh, because you know we get so busy noticing some things that others, other elements, which are so obvious to somebody looking at us, are completely, really, I'm looking at my left knee? Could have fooled me. That's it. Okay, but watch. Oh, that's it. And roll your head. Put in the rolling of the head just to find out if even with the rolling of the head and having to manage so many drawings at so many different angles, you haven't fallen over yet. And then, okay, stupid comment. Can you sing Alle meine Entchen at the same time? Only German song that comes to mind, I'm sorry. Quite appropriate with a tail, the duck tail. Okay, so I don't know. Do you need to lie down? Do you need to stand up? Do you need to sit? Do you need to do anything? Anything? And then, of course, we don't realize that we're rolling our head more to the right than to the left. Somehow, you know, we simplify. This is like the thing that I really like that Larry Goldfarb says. We diminish the degrees of freedom because too many possibilities means so much coordination. But it's possible. There we go. Possible, but it's not possible if you don't know that you're not even rolling your head to the left, then it's not possible at all. Okay. Yeah, but if you haven't taken a moment to stand, please do, because everybody else will be standing up anyway. Mm-hmm. Stand. There's something about an alive standing that feels more like it's more than just having bones stacked on top of each other, right? More than just having the structural components well aligned. There's something that maybe begins to feel as if there's a lengthening downward to the floor, not just the depositing of weight, but kind of a lengthening downward, which when we give FIs and we start the artificial floor, we're not looking for a mechanical push, right? We're looking to wake up a kind of a search of the nervous system to find the stand, the support. So I don't know, sometimes we can feel that much more clearly on one side than the other. But there's been doing a huge amount these days. So maybe that's something that if I name it, you can go, So anyway, would you now hold your head not with one arm in front, one arm behind, but a little bit with this, you know, thumbs behind the ears and here, the elbows can go a bit more forward, yeah. And you can actually even imagine that you're standing just in front of an extremely high table. So if anything, the elbows are not so wide, and you can actually, your elbows touch the table, so you'll know when you're pulling yourself down. And now you need a much longer pencil on the end of the coccyx, and you hold the head where it is, and you circle. And now you get, maybe you have already been particularly interested in whether you hold your breath at any moment or shorten anywhere. So this has something to do with just the head being held in space and the elbows leaning on the table, but maybe the whole spine and all the tissues up to the base of the neck could be somehow following the concept.
confused, but maybe what I showed you before, you can change direction anytime. Maybe the image you use is the whole small pelvis. So that if you have a place where in standing, oh my God, are you holding your feet crunching? Are the calves holding? Now so much higher off the ground. Maybe somewhere where, let's say, vis-a-vis the right leg, you can't quite get the coccyx to the right. Maybe the left side of the pubic bone needs to do something. I don't know. Use more dimensions. Take a few steps around. There will be no belly button pencil in the standing version, just in case anybody's already planning how the hell they're going to do that. Put your hands again to either side of your head, but now not so much to lengthen yourself up and so forth, but to somehow you can roll your head the tiniest little bit between these hands that are forward and back. Okay, so watch. Your elbows are going to need to be forward. Your elbows are going to need to be forward so that you roll a little bit, but you roll. You don't swing your elbows. You actually roll. So in one direction, you'll be holding more of the fingertips on one finger. No, the fingers have to point backward. They point up. It's not going to work. That's it. In one direction, you'll have the heel of the hand on one side and the fingers on the other. And in the other direction, you'll have the other heel of the hand and the other fingers. Very unusual kind of thing. That's it. Make it small. Make it small. If this really doesn't work for you, then one elbow will go forward, one elbow will go back, which means one shoulder will go forward and one other shoulder will go back. And then draw a circle with the coccyx on the floor.
While doing the head.
And if this is just like, oh my God, this is like a whole new thing, then just put your hands the usual way. Behind, or we'll have to reinstate the belly button. But draw behind, because you get very long, not because you shorten the back. And then just stand a moment, walk around, and if you would like to, actually rest on your back before you get up for the completion of the day, then do that.